is to see such a caring community. You guys live it out, not just words, but in actions. That's awesome. As Ryan said, through music today, we've been focusing on a series entitled Kingdom Culture, exploring the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and what that looks like here on earth and in our lives. We've been looking in particular at the Sermon on the Mount. That's Matthew chapter 5, chapters 5, 6, and 7. And today we're in a section of the Sermon on the Mount. These are Jesus' words to the people that are gathered there about the fulfillment of the law. Sounds like a rather daunting subject, doesn't it? But what we want to do today is take Jesus' words about the fulfillment of the law and take a look at how that relates to our everyday life. Where are the connecting points and what that's all about? And as you listen to this passage of Scripture about the fulfillment of the law, I want you to think about it in the context of new beginnings. Because in the fulfillment of the law that Jesus talks to us about, it's all about new beginnings. So listen to this passage of Scripture from Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Those words are incredible because there was nobody on earth at that time who worked harder at fulfilling the law than the Pharisees and the scribes. They really were. And Jesus says, unless you do better than that, no kingdom of heaven for you. Well, we're going to talk about how Jesus fulfills that promise by fulfilling the law. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, today, as we listen to your words from the Sermon on the Mount, in particular, Matthew chapter 5, help us to understand what you were talking about. We want an understanding of what you were saying and how that brings in new beginnings into our lives. Be with us today. Let our conversations be real and authentic so that we might take a look at who we are in light of who you are and who we are in light of what you've come to do for us. In your most holy and precious name, amen. So I want to read that first verse that I read for you before from Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, one more time. Listen to this one more time. Do not think that I've come to abolish, not just going to get rid of it, I'm not going to abolish the law. Heaven forbid we'd abolish the law. I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. The purpose of the law that was given to God's people was at least threefold. As we think about the Ten Commandments, maybe this will help us. The commandments that God gave to Moses, those commandments really served at least three purposes. Maybe more, but we're going to focus on three today. The purposes were to give us good guidelines for living life in community. Guidelines like you shall not kill, probably a good guideline if we're killing others, and there's a lot of that going on. It's breaking a command. It's not living together in harmony and community. If the commandment is you shall not steal, probably a pretty good guideline not to steal. And so each and every one of the commandments was a guideline for living together in community. It was also a help for living in good relationship. The first three commandments deal with our relationship with God. You shall have no other gods before you. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. All about a good, healthy, strong relationship with God. The last seven commands or commandments are all about relationship with one another. Not stealing, not killing, not bearing false witness. All those kinds of things. All about how we live in strong, healthy relationship with one another. So the law was really there to give us good guidelines and to give us good relationships between God and one another. But another purpose of the law was to help us understand that because we can't keep the law perfectly, and only by keeping the law perfectly could we ever be saved, we are in need of a Savior. The Pharisees were so intent on trying to keep the law perfectly that not only did they follow the Ten Commandments, they concocted or derived from the Ten Commandments 613 other laws, as if 10 wasn't hard enough to keep. And they believed that if they kept those 613 laws perfectly for an entire day, the kingdom of heaven would come. Well, obviously, the kingdom of heaven wasn't coming, so apparently somebody wasn't keeping the law perfectly, and that wasn't working out so well. So Jesus, by God's design, comes to fulfill the law. And you notice that in this picture, it's not a gavel like a judgment, but rather a spike like what might be used in a crucifixion. In other words, the one who came and did keep the law perfectly takes our place and fulfills the entire law, and that those who trust in him will receive forgiveness. It's how God chose to fulfill the law through Jesus because we couldn't get it done. And when asked about the greatest commandment, then Jesus said, well, what is the law? What does the word tell you? And they who knew the law code from the Old Testament said, well, probably the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. And the second like unto it is this, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Love your neighbor as yourself. Greatest commandments, greatest law of all. But they didn't quite get it. They didn't quite understand why not just keeping the law, but living that out in real life, what that would look for. And so Jesus, when tested about the law, there's this little episode that's told about in Luke chapter 10. You probably know it as the story of the Good Samaritan. But pay particular attention to what comes right before the story and right after, because it's all about keeping the law and it's all about doing it for my neighbor. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Because they believed that it was by keeping the law that you got eternal life. So this expert in the law is going to test him. Well, what's written in the law? Jesus asked. How do you read it? The person answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. And by that he meant you will live eternally. But wanting to justify himself, see, that's what the Pharisees and scribes are trying to do. Wanting to justify himself, that's what many of us, I'll own it to myself, try to justify myself. This person, when trying to justify himself, said, so just who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, a keeper of the law, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, an outcast, one who was looked down upon by the Pharisees and by all of the Jewish people, as he traveled, came to where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Go and do likewise. And so, who is my neighbor? We experience new beginnings as we experience the law fulfilled by Jesus in a special way that enables us to love our neighbors as ourselves. In fact, the law is fulfilled in us when what Jesus has done enables us to love our neighbors as ourselves. In fact, we can love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength only when we realize that it was God that first loved us. By the power of His Spirit, He gives us the power to love God and others and to recognize who is our neighbor. And when that happens, then we experience a brand new beginning in our lives. I believe the Good Shepherd experienced brand new beginnings over and over and over again this past week. I believe that we experience the law being fulfilled by loving neighbor as ourselves over and over again through Vacation Bible School. The theme for Vacation Bible School this week was shipwrecked. And because we had 468 kids with 236 leaders, making it our largest Vacation Bible School ever in the history of Good Shepherd. What do you think about that? Isn't that just absolutely incredible? Because of those numbers, it would have been easy to have a shipwreck. It really would have been. But it wasn't. New beginnings over and over and over again. The themes were shipwreck, Jesus rescues. Jesus rescued over and over again, many, many times, over and over again. And the themes for each day were, there's a special theme. One day it was loneliness, and that as a kind of being shipwreck condition and how Jesus rescues us in our loneliness. One day it was worry and the shipwreck of worrying and how Jesus rescues from worry. One day it was struggling, talking about different things we struggle with and that being a shipwreck and how Jesus rescues. Another day it was when we do things wrong, bad. That's a shipwreck. How Jesus rescues. And the last day, it was when we feel powerless to do anything about it. It's a shipwreck, but Jesus rescues. The kids helped us understand a whole lot better what that means. For example, there was one child who was finally old enough to come to Vacation Bible School. She was so excited because older siblings had been able to go and she hadn't been old enough, but this year she was, so she got to come to Vacation Bible School. And after day one, when they studied the theme of loneliness, this little first time ever Vacation Bible Schooler went around her block back home and she asked everybody, all her neighbors, she asked them, "Are you lonely?" And she went from neighbor to neighbor, "Are you lonely?" And then she told them, "It's okay. Jesus rescues." And she had that message over and over again for all of her neighbors. A little evangelist in the budding. It's awesome. another conversation was heard where a mom was talking to her child, and the mom said, "I'm so proud of you. It looks like you're having so much fun at vacation Bible school." And the little child said, "Yeah, I'm getting pretty big, you know. But mom, I got to tell you, sometimes I do miss you." And the mom said, "Well, sometimes I miss you too." And the child said, "Well, it's okay, mom. Don't worry. Jesus rescues." One child went to their parents' bedroom, 5 o'clock in the morning, all dressed, ready to go, and said, "Is it time to go to vacation Bible school yet?" One child was supposed to go to a sports camp on day two, but it had so much fun at vacation Bible school day one, they said, "Never mind, I'd rather go to vacation Bible school." One leader came, and she has a daycare in her home, and she was given permission by the parents of the kids who are in her daycare to bring them to Vacation Bible School as their daycare experience for the week. And that was okay. So she brought them, and they were all together, and it was awesome. And then she, because we were selling Bibles, children's Bibles for the kids, she bought a Bible for each little child that she'd brought to Vacation Bible School. And these are kids whose parents don't go to church. These are kids who, because their parents don't go to church, they don't go to church, except when their daycare provider brings them to Vacation Bible School. And so she bought Bibles for them so that they could take those Bibles home and read them to their parents. New beginnings. New beginnings. There were a total of 61 Bibles sold this week, and most of those were to children who'd never had a Bible before. Awesome stuff. When you're trying to manage 236 leaders who are taking care of 468 kids, sometimes a leader has a conflict. Maybe there's an illness at home or that. And so Bethany and the VBS leaders were getting calls regularly late at night from leaders who said, "I'm so sorry, I can't make it. My child is sick, or there's some conflict, or I'm sick," or whatever. And so it wasn't unusual for Bethany at 11:30 at night to be texting potential volunteers to see if they could come in the next day and lead. And everyone who said yes thanked Bethany and the others for the experience, because that was where God wanted them to be that day. It was a new beginning in a very special way. And the kids also learned about our neighbors. As they were learning about who's our neighbor, they learned about some of our neighbors, in fact, some of our children neighbors who don't have a home. And they learned about little kids who, because their parents don't have a home, they don't have their own room. And so we, this year with the offerings from Vacation Bible School, had those offerings go to support the homeless ministry at Hesed House. And the little kids brought in their quarters and they brought in their monies. And when they heard about these kids not having a room of their own and not having a home, the kids throughout the week, by day five of Vacation Bible School, raised $3,192. Isn't that amazing? Folks, that's a lot of quarters. It really is a lot of quarters, because they were learning about who's their neighbor and how they love their neighbor and loving their neighbor as themselves. And it's because God first loved us and Jesus fulfilled the law so that we can be free to love our neighbors and care about them. Well, that same excitement that we experienced in Vacation Bible School was experienced the week before at Eternal Impact, when we had over 200 middle school students and leaders, over 200 middle school students and leaders come. And the theme was a theme in which they focused on Jesus as the light of the world. And they just, it was incredible. It was transformational what happened. There was one student who invited her middle school friend to come, and her middle school friend had never been in a church before, never been in a church for any reason, never been in. This is Naperville, Illinois. We've got a middle school student who's never been in a church, any church ever before, came to Eternal Impact, and not only had an incredible experience, but that week as they focused on Jesus being the light of the world that shines in any and every darkness that you might be experiencing, that student had some darkness in their life. Their grandpa was really, really sick, and this student loved grandpa very much, loves, I should say, grandpa very much, and knew that it was Father's Day coming soon, and was really feeling some darkness. And pulled one of the leaders aside and said, hey, can we talk about this? Because they encourage sharing time. And so the leader talked with that student about this and then told that student not only about Jesus rescuing, but Jesus being the light of the world that shines in our darkness. And it was the first time that student, Naperville, Illinois, had ever heard the story of Jesus. Didn't know what God has done through his son, Jesus Christ. Folks, we've got a lot of reaching as God does a lot of transforming left in our community. One of the things that the Eternal Impact leaders told me was they were just blown away by the fact that we've got middle school students who are being encouraged to share some of their deepest feelings. Middle schoolers. Now, middle schoolers, if you can take yourself back to that time frame, middle schoolers have to put up with a whole lot of peer pressure and cyberbullying and being vulnerable in front of other people, your peers, and sharing, you know, deep stuff. That usually doesn't go real well. But over and over again, our leaders were just blown away by the authentic vulnerability and sharing of kids who really experience Jesus being the light of the world and shining in their darkness. And it was transformational. It made such a difference. They discovered this to be a safe place. They discovered really, in a way, what it means for Jesus to fulfill the law and to allow us to love our neighbors as ourselves because God first loved us. Another new beginning experience came in the form of a story told at our new member class this past week. Turns out that these new members had come to Good Shepherd because of our preschool. Now, to better understand the background of this story or the back story here, you need to know that this family, and they gave me permission to share the story, this family came to our Good Shepherd preschool because they loved the preschool. And that was really high praise because this mom that was bringing her child was a former preschool director. And she wanted the very best for her child. And she picked Good Shepherd to be that preschool. And so when she came, she wanted her child to have the best preschool experience that child could possibly have. But she was very forthright and she said, but we know it's a Christian preschool, but we don't want anything to do with the church. We're here because we want our child to have a great preschool experience. None of this church stuff for us, okay? It's just not who we are, okay? Well, our preschool leaders were not judging. They were accepting of that, and they cared for that child in the best way, as they always do for every child. About a month into the preschool starting, there's a huge fire at the business of that person's business. In fact, it was his business. They owned. They just about lost everything. It was a horrible fire. And the preschool leaders and families surrounded that family with love. They cared for them. They gave them things that they needed. They supported them. They prayed for them. And that family was so blown away by the love they experienced and the caring they received. They said, we want to be part of a church like, if that's what church is really all about, we want to be part of a church like that. And this past week, that mom was one of our Vacation Bible School leaders. She serves on our preschool parent board. The dad has gotten very involved in Good Shepherd. They come faithfully to worship now. It's a new beginning in their life because some people at Good Shepherd believe that we should love our neighbor as ourself because they know how it is that Jesus has fulfilled the law and given us the freedom to love one another as God first loved us. Well, many of you are aware that Pastor Greg's last Sunday here at Good Shepherd is today. And he and I, Lynn, are they're going to be in the narthex, the cafe again, greeting people. And you get a chance to say goodbye because of their schedule. Today's their last day here. And I need to tell you that throughout the 20 years of ministry that I've had the privilege of sharing with Pastor Greg, God has blessed Pastor Greg and I with many, many new beginnings. New beginnings centered in Jesus as the light of the world, who fulfills the law and calls us to love our neighbors as ourselves, as an expression of love for the God who first loved us. And I could chronicle all kinds of stories about new beginnings that I've had the privilege of experiencing with Pastor Greg, but perhaps it's best to hear him tell his story of new beginnings as we watch this video together.
This story has been one that I have forced myself to try to figure out, where did it begin and where is it today, and to get excited about where God's taken it.
I was a pastor outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and looking for something that was deeper in my journey as a pastor. What I was looking for was something that was a little out of the box, forwarding the gospel in a new, fresh way. And I really had in my heart that God would say to me, there's a place like that for you someday. And it, lo and behold, happened to be here in Naperville, Illinois. Gary and I chose, when we began our senior leadership in December of 1999, to say to ourselves, we are going to exalt God only all the time. There was an event that was happening in Phoenix, Arizona, a Promise Keepers pastors gathering. And so we found ourselves sitting in Bank One Ballpark, and we were listening to some phenomenal speakers. There was something happening globally that the church in the United States had to be attentive to, and that was the HIV/AIDS pandemic. We were both just wrecked. He looked at me and he said, World Vision is inviting one of us to go to Africa. I think you should go. Like, that was the most frightening challenge I had heard, because I never ever fashioned myself as someone who was going to do global work. I end up going to Africa with World Vision, and it changed how I perceive what life is about. That's 15 years ago. And so as I sit here today, it's an interesting journey as I look back with World Vision. God embraced me on this journey in a way that I never thought would ever happen. We partnered as a church here at Good Shepherd for child sponsorship through World Vision. We worked with one of their area development programs that I had visited in Uganda, and we sponsored kids and helped the entire community develop. In the midst of that, God also brings along a man by the name of Michael Chitwood. Chitwood, as they call him, is head of Team World Vision, and he is helping people figure out how they can run for clean water in Africa. And we've had a few runners over the years, and then a couple years ago, Michael came here to this church and spoke. And so as I listened to Michael, I could feel a stirring of the Holy Spirit. And I went home, I ran that day, and as I came in the house, I said to my wife, you tell me I'm crazy, just say it if I am, but I'm thinking about running the Chicago Marathon with Team World Vision to raise money for clean water. And she looked at me and she said, you're not crazy. You know, over the course of these years, running two marathons now, raising funds for Team World Vision, going to Africa, God allowed our
church here at Good Shepherd to dive into Eastern Africa specifically, and that was Kenya. It only drew me closer to this wonderful group of people who care about church, they care about kids, they care about the least of these. That's a mandate that God has had in Scripture forever. About 8 months ago, I was at Willow Creek and Rich Stearns, the CEO of World Vision, was speaking. And one of my good friends was at his table. He works for World Vision, Steve Haas. Steve went on the original vision trip with me. And Steve said, "So Greg, what are you doing now?" "We're looking for someone in Phoenix, Arizona right now to help us maximize the life of the church back into the life of World Vision. Would you mind if I have a conversation or two?" And over the course of time, we both agreed that God was doing what God wanted to do, bring me closer to World Vision. And I was offered a position to serve as a senior advisor to the southwest portion of the United States. Of all places, I am going to be living in the place where the seed was originally planted in my soul, Phoenix, Arizona. If that's not like God, I don't know what that is. When God's all over something, God does do, as Ephesians 3 says, He does immeasurably more than we could ever hope or imagine. And that's where I'm at right now. I'm excited of this possibility as I partner with a new group of people in ministry, in call, and as I move into the Phoenix area.
Yes, indeed, a time of new beginnings. After much more than 20 years of ministry featuring new beginnings, this is a season of new beginnings here at Good Shepherd, and Pastor Greg and I are excited to experience both what God has in store for Pastor Greg in Arizona and globally, and what God has in store for Good Shepherd here and globally. Even as Pastor Greg and I could not begin to envision all that God would have in store for us all these past 20 years, so too we cannot envision all that God has in store for us at 1310 Shepherd Drive in the next 20 years. But God, who does more than we could ever hope or imagine, has a great vision and plan for Good Shepherd, for us and beyond. And I trust that the one, Jesus Christ, who came to fulfill the law and who taught us how to love our neighbors as ourselves, because God first loved us so that we could love our Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength and experience that new beginning. God has one new beginning after another in store for us. May God bless each and every one of you, each and every day, with the new beginning that God has called you to, wherever God calls you to. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we thank you for new beginnings. We thank you that you have fulfilled the law, because we couldn't. We thank you that you love us and you forgive us and you claim us as your own, and each and every day is a brand new beginning made new and fresh by you for us to use for your glory and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, let this day be yet another day when we experience your new beginnings.